Welcome to the How to Survive a Horror Movie podcast, where we learn how to survive horror movies and maybe how to survive life. I'm your host, Ryan Stacey, and today we are talking about the 2016 Ghostbusters reboot, the third movie in the Ghostbusters series.
Get out of my friend, Ghost!
And I'm joined by our Ghostbusters correspondent, Derek Kubicek. Derek, how you doing?
Hey, Ryan, what do you want?
Ghostbusters, a good Ghostbusters sequel movie.
Well, you're going to have to go somewhere else.
Yeah, not here today.
Not this movie.
So yes, Ghostbusters 2016, we watched that today. First time you had seen that, Derek, right?
Indeed, I'd never seen it before.
And what were your thoughts?
I've heard that this movie is... I've heard a range of opinions. This movie is either horrible or okay. I do land somewhere closer to okay than I do horrible. That said, I would say three of the five cast members range from exactly that, horrible to okay, two of them being pretty horrible, one of them being okay. Of course, people who've seen the movie probably might agree. Kate McKinnon's character I did not like, and then Melissa McCarthy I didn't really like in this movie either. I understand the roles that they were trying to assign based on the makeup of the original Ghostbusters, and they were also trying to change the characters a little bit to make them their own, but I didn't like the direction that they took them. I don't think that's necessarily anyone other than the director's fault.
Yep. Directed by Paul Feig.
And then Kristen Wiig, being our protagonist, somehow is just there.
Yeah.
She manages to merely exist in a movie about really scary, spooky ghosts. That said, I really liked Leslie Jones in this movie. She brought a lot to the main cast. And I thought that Chris Hemsworth did fantastic with what he had to work with and was a shining spot in an otherwise, like, fairly uninspired movie. Other than that, I felt like it was pretty immature.
Yep.
Whereas the first movie is about a bunch of mid-30, 40-year-old cynics who are just struggling their way through their passions. And this movie was kind of like if everyone was 13 years old but also understood physics and engineering really well.
Yeah.
And I didn't really like that all that much either.
You know, I think it looks good. The visual effects are great. And it's just not very funny. I think that's the main problem. They focus a little bit more on action than they did in the first two Ghostbusters, which I think was the right route for them to go. If you're going to reboot Ghostbusters, you want to change it a bit, make it an action movie. Okay, cool. That's interesting. And some of that works. And like, you know, Leslie Jones, Chris Hemsworth are great, but the rest of the movie is I think pretty dull and not super interesting. So I don't like this movie. It's not as bad as everyone says it is. And I'd say it's even better than Ghostbusters 2, but I still think it's a bad movie.
I say it's marginally, because at least you have the cast of good characters.
Yep.
Who were misused in the second one, and that feels like a sin. This almost feels like the different action set pieces elevated these characters a little bit, but that was only because they started so kind of low to begin with. Last thing on this, the beginning of the movie was definitely worse, the worst part of the movie. It made it hard to really get invested in the story moving forward, at least for me. I had to almost reset my brain at the beginning of the second act and basically say, like, I don't care about how any of these characters got here. I'm just going to follow them starting here, and that made it a little bit more bearable.
When the ghost busting starts.
Yes.
Sure.
Precisely.
So, the point of this podcast is we are trying to create a master list of rules to survive any and all horror movies, no matter how silly they are. So we're going to be going through the plot of Ghostbusters 2016, which also might be called Ghostbusters Answer the Call.
It's unclear.
It's a little unclear. We're just going to call it Ghostbusters 2016, whatever.
That's what it's called in Letterboxd.
We're going to be spoiling this movie, so don't. If you haven't seen it, don't bother.
Just skip to Afterlife, probably.
Yes.
Which I have also not seen, yeah. But I have heard it's better.
It's better. Afterlife is better. You don't need to watch this one. It's not that interesting. So, but spoiler alert for Ghostbusters 2016 if you are interested. All right, let's get into the plot of Ghostbusters 2016. We open at a spooky mansion in New York City. It's just this old mansion, and there's a tour guide giving a tour of the mansion. His name is Garrett, and he is played by Zach Woods, who people know him from The Office. Gabe from The Office, I think, is his most famous role. So he is giving a tour of this supposedly haunted mansion, and after the tour is over, he notices some just, like, weird, spooky stuff. There's a doorknob that moves. There's another doorknob that has, like, heat attached to it, like Home Alone style, and he burns his hand on it. Garrett, rule number one, you're in a horror movie.
Indeed. especially because you're in a haunted mansion.
Yes. You know, he does this every day, so nothing unusual, but all of a sudden, now there's unusual spooky shit.
Yeah, it works against him, because you think you're just doing it for the tourists.
Yeah.
You know, you're not into this paranormal stuff. Honestly, Ryan, if you were Garrett, I feel like you'd have the same initial demeanor. Like, yep. This is just a job. I'll say the spooky things. I'll make the lamp thing. I'll make the candlestick fall off the
play
drawer.
Play a trick on the tourists.
You know, exactly.
I would do that.
It's for the lulls and for the memories for them. And,
that'd be a fun job.
And you're laughing at them.
Unfortunately.
But I hope if you get your hand burned and all of a sudden spooky noises and everything is shaking, it's a horror movie starts.
So stuff is getting tossed around. He does try to go out the front door, but it's hot, so he can't open it. He tries to break a window with a table or a chair or something, and it gets stopped by ghost power, so he can't get out that way. Rule 11, get out.
Get out!
So what does he do? He goes down into the basement where, like, the origin of the spooky ghost story in this mansion is from. You went to the spot you shouldn't go to with ghosts involved. It is similar to the don't run upstairs rule. You're trapping yourself. Rule 15, don't run upstairs. Don't run into the spooky basement either.
Correct.
You know, most of the time with basements, they have, like, ways out. They have, like, those little storm cellar windows. This doesn't have that. You're just trapping yourself.
This is an old mansion.
And eventually, like, the stairs are going to collapse. There's a bunch of spooky bullshit down here. We don't see how Gabe gets out of this. Garrett gets out of this.
We don't see how Gabe gets out of this.
He's Gabe from the office. We don't see how he gets out of this mess, because we're going to cut to the main titles. So, who knows? But this is not a great performance in the end for Garrett.
I will say, though, at least he realized his mistake.
Yep.
He ran down the stairs. He's like, Gabe, you idiot.
Yes. You stupid idiot.
So, I appreciated that.
Self-aware, but rule 10, don't panic.
And a very intense opening. I actually enjoyed this very much.
The opening was solid enough. We're going to go to our main protagonist, Aaron. I don't remember any of their last names. It doesn't really matter.
Well, Aaron with an E.
Dr. Aaron Gilbert. She's played by Kristen Wiig, main protagonist. She is a professor at Columbia University, coming up for tenure. She really wants to get tenure, but unfortunately, she is approached by the guy who owns the spooky mansion, and he has a copy of a book she wrote back in the day with her best friend all about ghosts, and he wants to, like, hire her to, like, investigate the spooky mansion. This book isn't supposed to be out on the market, but it's for sale on Amazon, which could really fuck up her professional reputation.
Yeah, because she wants to be known as a very serious professor of physics at a pristine Ivy League university.
Yes.
Putting forth very assertive beliefs on ghosts,
yes,
I think, could hurt your reputation.
I think so. In the academia.
Academia, you know, who cares about academia, right?
And so what happened was her best friend from high school is Dr. Abby Yates, Melissa McCarthy, who is still into ghost hunting stuff, and she published the book to get some revenue to, like, fund her research without talking to Aaron about it. So Aaron's going to go see Abby and be like, hey, seriously, though, take that down. Please, no.
This falls lightly under don't be a menace.
Yeah.
Ever so lightly.
And Abby works at some random hokey cheap college. I don't really know what this is.
Greendale
Community College.
She works at Greendale Community College in New York.
Yes, in the parapsychology department.
Yes.
That tells you all you need to know. They have a parapsychology department.
Yes.
I guess these characters, Aaron is the Bill Murray, supposed to be, but with none of the sarcasm. She's just there muttering Kristen Wiig lines.
And not there for the grift either. No,
she's just there.
She's trying to be very straight-laced, is the point.
Her only real other character personality, she's got the hots for Chris Evans. Or
yes.
Chris Hemsworth. Got my Chris's mixed up.
Get him right.
No, the internet will come after me for that one.
Let's start calling him Chris Pine next.
Chris Pine. Not Chris Pratt, though.
No, not Chris Pratt, though.
And Abby is obnoxious. She's the Ray, the Dan Aykroyd character. Is a true believer, and it's just kind of obnoxious about it.
Yeah, because, I mean, Ray was sort of, like, lovably obsessed.
Yes.
Or, like, lovably endeared to the idea of discovering facts about the afterlife.
Yep.
Or at least, like, the paranormal. And Melissa McCarthy was just kind of, I don't know. I will say she was not angry Melissa McCarthy,
no,
which was a nice change. She kind of reverted back to Suki Gilmore Girls days, which there's a certain level of appreciation for, but it felt like she was making fun of herself for wanting to find ghosts.
Yeah.
So she was pretty annoying.
And her partner is Dr. Jillian Holtzman. Call her Holtzman. That's what she goes by. Played by Kate McKinnon. She's the Egon, and she's the worst part of this movie.
She's mad scientist rather than overly
academic, socially awkward.
Yeah, overly cerebral, I think, is what I was trying to say with Egon. So, yeah, they took it in a different direction. So, I mean, credit for trying.
Yeah, but, you know, taking things in a different direction costs me just driving off a cliff. Like, that is a different direction. And that's what we do here.
Or driving into a giant ghostly portal.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So Holtzman is terrible. I cannot stand Kate McKinnon in this movie.
I truly can't. Almost none of it worked. And I just wanted her to take her glasses off because, like, what were those doing for her eyesight? And, man, I'm sorry, Kate McKinnon. I don't think it was necessarily your fault. But maybe it was somewhat your fault.
It's hard to say for sure. But, yeah, this did not work for me at all.
Not me either.
But they end up coming to a deal. Aaron tells them, like, hey, yeah, the reason why I know about this is I got approached by this guy. He wants me to check out the spooky mansion. And basically, Abby and Aaron come to the agreement, hey, if you introduce us to the old man to get us in the door to investigate the spooky mansion, I will temporarily take the book down until you get your tenure. Deal. Cool. Great. Fine.
We're adults.
So they're going to go to the mansion. They're going to go check it out. They end up finding ectoplasm. The basement door opens. Ooh, spooky. Their machinery goes off saying there's a ghost here, and then we actually do see a ghost. Rule one.
Yes. You're in a horror movie.
Yeah, a ghost is showing up. You know, maybe it's a hologram. Throw some stuff at it, see what happens.
And to be clear, I think this is about the point in the movie that I asked Ryan, is this a reboot or is it
reboot.
A very long-term sequel? So, there was no original Ghostbusters. Nope. They are the original Ghostbusters for all intents and purposes. Yep. They're not rediscovering technology. They're not going to go into, you know, the old Jurassic Park visitor center and find the banner rotting on the floor or anything like that.
We're going to do that in Ghostbusters Afterlife, though.
I'm sure we are. I was kind of waiting for that. But so in this one, you don't know. Point being, you don't know how dangerous this ghost is. Because if this was a sequel, there could be news clips out there. And if they were experts, they would know these ghosts are mostly harmless. But instead, we're just going to try and talk to the ghost. We didn't like this in the first movie.
Nope.
And we don't like it here either.
Nope. Throw stuff at it. See what happens. And then shoot it.
Run away.
Yep, run away. Aaron's going to try talking to it, and it's just going to puke slime all over her. Gets completely slimed.
Nickelodeon.
And then they're like, oh, we saw a ghost. The ghost flies away. And they're like, cool. Aaron believes in ghosts again. Great. Unfortunately, Abby took a video of all this and posted it online in Columbia season. She gets fired.
And Tywin Lannister fires her from her job.
Charles Dance is here for a minute and fires her.
I really wanted him to be in more of the movie.
Well, Charles Dance should be in more of every movie.
I agree. I think Charles Dance should be the bad guy in every movie. And maybe even the good guy in some. Both.
But he's out of the movie already. And then, so she's going to go see Abby and Holtzman and be like, hey, I'll join you guys. And they immediately get fired from their university, too.
Because they didn't even realize that they were funding the paranormal department. Yep.
The dean forgot that they existed.
And we can't have the prestigious 12-year reputation of this institution. Man, he is so much like Dean.
Yep.
With more fingers and less jovial. This is the closest I felt that we were to the original Ghostbusters, where it was more political. Was just this scene where everyone gets fired because ghosts, and we can't fund that stuff.
Now, instead of, like, this is the part where, you know, the Ghostbusters go into business for themselves, and that's not really the...
Yeah, they enter the private industry.
Yeah, except this is more of, like, we're gonna be our own private research group instead of, like, a business. That's they're more focused on the science side of it than the business side of it.
And this is where we're going to start. I think this is more of an action movie, but it is, again, it's more of like a science experiment. Yep. Whereas the first one was, this is a small business. We're just trying to make it in Manhattan, guys.
Yep.
And this movie is not like that.
So they are going to end up moving into a... They want to try and get the fire station, the classic fire station. Way too expensive.
$21,000 a month, which, by the way, I think I made a comment about in the original Ghostbusters podcast. I said, there's no way they can afford rent, even on this building in downtown Manhattan. That was another funny thing for me personally, given I work with this kind of stuff. I was like, yeah, they can't afford this. And then she's like, no, you can't afford this. I'm like, perfect.
So they move in above a Chinese restaurant instead. We're going to get introduced to our fourth Ghostbuster, you know, which is one thing I will give credit to the movie for being better than the original, is Winston in Ghostbusters 1 is there. He has one funny line.
Yeah, he kind of shows up. And then does nothing.
This is Patty, played by Leslie Jones. She actually has a character. There's a lot more to her. She gets a good amount to do. She works for the subway system in New York. And she knows New York super well. She knows, like, the history of New York. She's a history buff. She just knows the city super well.
She seems the type that listens to a lot of podcasts while she's working at the MTA.
Sure. So, yeah, this is Patty. She's great. One of the better parts of this movie. She's going to meet our main antagonist, a guy named Rowan North. And he's just a fucking weirdo.
Yes.
Yep.
Just bona fide weird guy.
He is basically, what was it, Janus?
Yeah, you know what? I was
Ghostbusters 2.
I was getting the same vibes, and I was like, gosh, these movies are way too similar.
Yeah, just drop the funny accent, and it's like the same character.
Well, I mean, drop the mega bad, drop the BBEG who's stuck in the painting in Ghostbusters 2, and it's basically the same plot.
Yes. And so he's our bad guy. What he's trying to do is he's setting off like these devices that harness ghost energy
or amplify the weak energy and make them more able to materialize.
Yeah, make it easier for ghosts to cross over, destroying the barriers.
Yes,
he's planting these all around New York in like specific spots, trying to bring all the energy to like a really specific spooky zone. We'll just call it that, at the hotel he works at.
Yeah, if anyone's watched like Full Metal Alchemist or Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, you'll know that they were doing a lot of different events in an order that would create a giant alchemy circle, and then in the center of that circle would be the epicenter for some huge event. It's the same thing here. We've seen it in a lot of movies, but I felt like it was closest to this one, so I would share.
Dr. Rowan, I don't even know. He's called a doctor in the Wikipedia, but I don't know if they ever say that in the movie.
He's a janitor by trade in the movie, but it might just be because he wanted access to the Mercado.
So he works at the Mercado Hotel, which is like the spooky center of New York.
Yeah.
And he's the maintenance guy there.
Yeah, he works sanitation or whatever.
So he sneaks into the subway tunnel itself, out the platform, and Patty sees him and follows. Because I guess that's her job. I guess I don't know enough about subways to say, like, should you be going down there and checking that? I don't know.
I don't think it could, because trains are running on these rails. Like, these rails are live. I don't think anyone should be down on that. And I don't know that you could pay me enough to sit in a booth and then go down on the tracks. I think this is beyond her scope just a little bit.
I don't know that for sure.
Yeah.
But even if that was part of her job description, don't take this fucking job. How much do you get paid to like go down into active subway tunnels? Not enough.
Exactly.
Rule number three, do your damn job, but don't die in the process.
And the key is don't die in the process. Now, we're not going to lose Patty here.
No. Hallelujah.
Thank goodness.
She's going to follow him down. He leaves like one of his spooky devices there to like call in the ghosts.
Yeah, he planted the ghost bomb.
Yep. And apparently he did this at the spooky mansion in the beginning,
yep,
too.
Yep, we saw it hidden underneath the dresser.
Okay. That's right, we did see that.
Was he in the tour?
Ooh, I didn't look. I didn't notice.
And I didn't even know to think about it.
That would have been smart. I doubt it with this movie, but maybe. And it's going to summon a ghost that died in the electric chair. Which we did that in Ghostbusters 2 as well.
Yeah, it was an executed prisoner.
Yep. And she is going to just, like, run away.
Nope.
Nope.
Basically from the movie, nope. Just nope.
Yep.
Just leaves.
Rule 11, get out.
Solid, Patty.
Yes, we love it. That's great.
And by the way, if we haven't mentioned it, don't be a menace to this Janus guy.
Yes.
To Rowan North.
Yeah, because his whole reason why he wants to do this is because everyone's been mean to him his entire life because he's a weirdo, which is true of all the Ghostbusters. That's the thing they have in common is people are mean to them because they're kind of weird. And Rowan wants to destroy the world because of that, and the Ghostbusters don't.
Yeah, it's almost like, I don't know, don't do that.
But just be nice. It doesn't cost anything to be nice.
You know, maybe be more like Steve Buscemi and come up with a very specific hit list and don't just kill everybody.
Yes.
I'm not telling you how to enact your revenge schemes, everybody. I'm just saying, like, if you have to do one, try not everybody.
Yeah, so that's the movie. Yeah, just be nice. Don't be assholes.
Yes.
Rule 4, don't be a menace.
That's what Ryan's dad would tell us. Just be kind to
Be kind to everybody. So Patty, she's going to go see the Ghostbusters because she wants to call in the experts.
And like, who do you call?
Who are you going to call?
Nobody
yet. There's no one to call yet.
Ghost Jumpers.
Which is just like one of those Paranormal Activity shows.
Yeah, it's a spoof on ghost hunters.
Yes. So the Ghostbusters, they're not called that yet, but they have hired a receptionist, and it's Chris Hemsworth, a guy named Kevin, who's just dumbass.
His intro scene might be my favorite. I wanted to take, I know we're not a review podcast, but I wanted to take a moment. He's sitting down for the interview, and there's a point when he has an itch on his eye, and he sticks his finger through the lensless glasses and scratches his eye.
That would be the funniest moment of the movie.
I laughed so hard, but then they spent the next 2 minutes drawing attention to the fact that he stuck his finger through the lensless eyeglass frames, and I was like, that would have been so much more effective to just leave it as him sticking his hand through the glasses with no frame, and you don't need to draw any more attention to that.
Well,
that was funny enough.
That was funny, but then it gets the line, because there's no lenses, you know, glass in your lenses, and he's like, oh, well, they kept getting dirty, so I just took them out.
Yeah.
That's like, not so funny.
I mean, there's a couple payoffs in it, but it would have been way more effective for me. Okay. Just like, make that one little gag, and then we can like sprinkle in how stupid this guy is in other ways. But I thought it was hilarious, especially as a millennial, because we used to get teased for our girls who would wear lenses with no prescriptions, and teased for people who would not have lenses in their glasses at all. So it
felt
like,
do that? Is this real?
Yes, this was a real... Ryan, you missed all of this.
I missed all this.
You never grew out of the early 2000s of wearing t-shirts over your three-quarter sleeves.
It's true. I'm not doing that today, but I'm close.
Like the people in Scream 1, that's like your dressing.
Oh, come
attire.
On. No. Scooby-Doo live action movie,
okay.
Sir.
The Scooby-Doo live action.
That is when fashion peaked, and that's how I dress like the background extras in Scooby-Doo.
The t-shirt over the three-quarter and over the long sleeve is back.
You're goddamn right.
It is making a comeback right now. We are circling back to the 90s and 2000s.
I'm taking credit for that because I never stopped. I never stopped.
It only took 2 decades.
Yeah. You know, if we still had the khaki pants zip-offs with the cargo shorts for sale, I'd have that, too.
Oh, they're coming, man.
They're coming. So Patty, she goes to see the Ghostbusters and, like, basically tells them what happened. And basically hires them. But she doesn't pay any money for them. She's like, hey, come check this out.
Because, well, I mean, they're academics. They want they need phenomenons to study. Yep. And so that's what she's doing. She's like, hey, I've got a phenomenon. You want to come look at this?
Rule 12, wait for backup.
Yes.
She's going to get the closest thing we got to experts in. I love that. Arguably the best movie of the movie.
Yes.
So they're going to go down, and same thing happens. You know, we get the ectoplasm, we get the ghost. We use the proton pack for the first time. It's not fixed. It's not finished yet. And they fail to capture the ghost, because that's their goal. They want to capture it to prove their existence. Instead, it gets hit by a subway.
Mm-hmm. They do get another video of it.
Yep, which everyone thinks is fake. So they're like, okay, we have to capture one for real to prove this.
Yes, most notably Bill Murray.
That is their goal. That is the goal of the Ghostbusters.
To convince Bill Murray that ghosts exist.
Yep, Bill Murray is in this movie along with the entire like surviving cast. So Bill Murray is here. He plays a Dr. Martin Hess. Heiss?
I don't know.
He is a paranormal debunker. He's only got like 2 scenes, but he's here. But he thinks the video is fake. So the Ghostbusters are going to get a call, and Patty's going to join the Ghostbusters at this point. And there is a ghost activity at a concert venue where Ozzy Osbourne's going to be playing. And so we're going to get to the venue. The guy who called him in is actually played by Michael McDonald. And we've actually had Michael McDonald on the podcast before. He was in Leprechaun 2 as the barista.
Yep, the dick barista, yep. Who is mean for no reason and immediately dies.
And then he played Little John in Halloween Kills.
Yeah, yes, Halloween Kills, the second one in the most recent trilogy.
Yep.
Not quite. Do we give co-wins?
No, we
give
it to Big John.
We did give it to Big John because he locked them in with the bad. But
he
both
was
of them
very
were
close to winning Night of the Living Pleb in both movies.
Correct. But I was still like, hey, hi, I like you.
I love Michael McDonald. Love when he shows up and stuff. He's only here for like a minute, but it was nice to see him.
Yeah, it was, hello, I like you.
So he's the one who called him in. We're going Ghostbusting. Rule one. Mm-hmm. You're going Ghostbusting, you're in a horror movie.
Perhaps cancel the concert.
Yeah, it hasn't made its way into the concert venue proper yet. It's still down in the hallways.
This is a metal concert, reminder.
Yeah.
I mean, for those who don't know who Ozzy Osbourne is, I suppose.
I would hope everyone here knows who Ozzy Osbourne is. So the Ghostbusters are going to go looking for it. They split up. Rule number 19, don't split up,
gang. Don't split up, gang.
Let's split up and look for clues.
They did this is the big callback to the first one.
Instead of the hotel Slimer, it is a concert venue with a gargoyle ghost instead. Slimer is in the movie, though. Remember Slimer?
I do.
So Abby is going to find another one of Rowan's devices. So this is all connected. Patty, in another hilarious moment, she's going to open a door and find a bunch of mannequins in there. And she's going to be like, you know what? I'm going to skip this room.
Her dialogue, she goes, room full of nightmares. Uh-uh. And she just keeps walking.
Love that. One of the mannequins follows her and chases her. She meets up with the other Ghostbusters, and they're going to end up shooting it with their proton packs and destroying it. It's haunted by this big bat gargoyle ghost.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to get an action sequence where it spills out into the concert hall while the band is performing. The crowd all thinks it's part of like a light show.
Yeah, part of the projections.
Yep. Eventually, when the ghost lands on Patty's back, they're going to realize, like, oh, no, this is real. But the Ghostbusters are going to capture this ghost pretty easily.
Yep.
And again,
very similar to the original movie.
Probably did less damage than the original Ghostbusters did.
Yeah, they pretty much tore the hotel apart. This one was, you know, they ruined some of the Art Deco.
Yep, just some of it. But they capture the ghost, and now everyone loves the Ghostbusters. Except Rowan. He's pissed.
Yeah. Have you fun.
So Dr. Hess arrives to debunk them. He wants to talk to them in person to debunk them. And he challenges them. He's like, I don't believe you. I think you're full of crap. Aaron, for some dumbass reason, has to prove herself right, and she releases the ghost just to prove to Bill Murray that there is really ghosts, and the ghost is released and knocks Bill Murray out the window. I don't think he dies. I'm pretty sure we don't make him. I think in like a deleted scene he survives. So I don't know for sure. But this was the dumbest move of the movie.
Horrible move by Kristen Wiig. I will say though, a very light rule 32 for Bill Murray's character. You're playing with fire there, buddy.
When you're a debunker, you are playing with fire. See the movie Now You See Me for that.
Yes.
Yes. Rule 32 is play stupid games, win stupid prizes. I think Aaron's the bigger offender though.
Aaron's the bigger offender, but, you know, Bill Murray, he learned a lesson.
Yep.
Now, I do want to take a second to appreciate the irony of Bill Murray marching into the Ghostbusters headquarters and saying, show me the proof in the pudding.
Yep.
And we said in the first movie, like, hey, you know, maybe you could comply with the government a little bit and not just be like a raging libertarian. And then we solve a lot of problems. And in this movie, they're like, oh, fine, we'll just show it to him. But he'll just immediately get yeeted out of the movie because it's a dangerous ghost. And
yep.
He doesn't understand the powers that be. So they literally took that moment and turned it on its head and said, we're going to do exactly the opposite.
Yes.
This guy has no reason to be here, and she's going to show him the ghost anyway. So it's kind of like, I don't know, the wickedly worse version of it.
So with this whole incident, gets the authorities involved. Department of Homeland Security is going to arrive to pick up the Ghostbusters. I don't really know why these two agents are here, because they don't really do anything in the movie, and they're played by notable actors. So we have two Homeland Security agents. I don't know if we ever learn their names.
I don't think we do.
But the first one is played by the late Michael K. Williams, famously played Omar Little on The Wire. He was also in Community. That's where I know him from. But yeah, he's been in just a ton of stuff. He died recently.
Who was he in Community?
He played the their third year when they were in biology class. He was their professor for the entirety of season 3. The biology professor.
Okay.
Also in The Purge Anarchy. He's in a bunch of stuff. But yeah, he died 2021. So sadly, great actor. And then we have Matt Walsh playing the other agent, who was also on Community for one episode. He played the racist gardener. Who had the trampoline hidden out in the hedge maze area.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where I know him from. But he's also in Hangover as a doctor. He was the one who, he's like, oh, you guys got roofied or something like that.
You know, it is kind of funny that we already referenced Greendale Community College in this movie. And then you've got two people who were in the show.
And then he was in, like, Semi-Pro in a small role, Step Brothers. Yeah, he's just been in just a ton of comedies. You've seen this guy before and stuff. Yeah, I'm looking at his filmography now. It's really, he's in a lot of stuff, but, like, all minor roles. I think he was on Veep as well. He did a prominent role on Veep. But yeah, these two guys who are notable comedians, who are in a ton of stuff, and they get nothing to do in this. Nothing. They're just there.
It is very much a why are you here?
Yeah, why are you here? The wire, are you here?
The wire, yeah. That was stupid.
That was good. But they're going to get taken to see the mayor, who's played by Andy Garcia, who I know from Ocean's 11 is probably the thing I know him from most. Andy Garcia plays the mayor, and they're basically like, yeah, we totally believe you and everything you're doing. We are going to deny it publicly. You guys go ahead and do what you're doing. We believe you, but we can't let the voters know we believe you.
I'm starting to understand how, like, SNL members wrote this movie. Because it was, here's the original movie, and they did it this way. What if it was exactly backwards from that? Because that's exactly what the mayor didn't do.
Yep.
We don't believe you, and you need to stop. This is, we do believe you, you can continue, but we're going to pretend like we don't believe you.
We're going to call you frauds every opportunity we get, just to avoid a panic. Okay.
Sorry, I'm just over here lost in thought now. I'm not realizing exactly how many ways they intentionally turned the old
they're
movie.
They're going to subvert our expectations.
That's all they're doing. Oh, this is some real season 7, season 8 Game of Thrones stuff.
Yep.
They did it before that, actually.
Holtzman is going to invent more weapons for the Ghostbusters to use in the action sequences later on.
I don't mind this.
Yeah, that's fine. It's going to get the best action sequence of the movie because of this stuff. So
yeah. And also, I love weapon testing scenes, too. Those are fun in movies.
So the ghost activity is increasing. And so Aaron is going to map it out and realize all roads lead to everything that intersects at that Mercado Hotel. So that's what's going on. So they're going to go head over there and investigate.
And from what I can tell by doing just quick internet searches, the Mercado Hotel does not play any sort of nostalgic role in the first movie.
No.
But I do believe it is the same location as the hotel in American Horror Story.
Oh.
So there was a fun little tidbit that I did find on the internet.
Oh, okay.
So there you go.
I haven't seen any American Horror Stories.
So. Me neither, but I'm guessing that there are people out there who have.
Probably. I think it is a popular show.
One or two people?
But as they're looking at the website for the hotel, they see a staff photo, and Patty recognizes Rowan, the guy from the subway, is a staff member there. So like, okay, that's the guy. He's behind everything. Let's go get him.
Here's our smoking gun.
So they're going to go over to the Mercado. Annie Potts is like the receptionist at the hotel. Mm-hmm. Quick cameo. She's like, oh, you're after that guy? Yeah, he's downstairs. Go get him.
Mercado Hotel, what do you want?
And so they go down in the basement. And they see all this bullshit ghost machines all set up.
Yeah, ghost tech.
All the ghost tech.
Spooky tech.
And then Rowan is there and he's going to commit suicide out of nowhere. He's going to electrocute himself. We had our first death in the Ghostbusters franchise.
Whoa. It was actually kind of jarring, to be honest. They're like, the cops are on their way. You're already done for. He's like, well, I guess might as well just end it.
And bye.
And then dies.
He electrocutes himself.
He fries himself.
Normally, this would be a rule 17, never give up the next thing you try might work, but this is all part of his plan.
This is all part of his plan, but there's still a rule here. You don't...
Play stupid games and stupid prizes.
Yeah, we'll call it that, I guess.
He's going to end up getting trapped in like the ghost dimension, so...
He's trying to do the old Ben move, like, strike me down and I'll come back more powerful, but I'm going to hit myself with the lightsaber, so woo.
So, yeah, he's dead. I guess the movie's over.
Yeah, done. Kate McKinnon goes and shuts off the machines, and we're done. We're saved.
Homeland Security's going to show up. The mayor's like, hey, great job. Also, we're going to fake arrest you and make it look like you guys did a publicity stunt. Bye! Aaron is going to read Rowan's notebook, which is actually just the book that she and Abby wrote together, but he's got, like, all of his notes written in, like, the margins.
Mm-hmm. And, you know... very much read like a manifesto after you get through the first science couple pages. He's drawing comic books of himself taking over the world.
Yeah.
He's essentially the Stave Puff Marshmallow Man.
Yeah, she's basically going to realize, oh, this is all his plan. He's going to come back as a ghost and cause the apocalypse. That's his plan.
Honestly, I was surprised I didn't immediately predict it. I was like, where is this going? I didn't get it immediately.
Abby's all by herself back at HQ, and she's going to notice something spooky's happening. She tries to lock herself in the bathroom, but Ghost Rowan is going to get in anyway and possess her. I don't think there's much Abby could have done here. She's all by herself. It just, you know, it's hard.
Nope. This was, again, similar to what happened to Rey in Ghostbusters 2.
Yep.
Again, we're emulating the bad movie and inversing the good movie, so yep. Just keeping with the pattern.
So Holtzman and Patty come back, and Possessed Abby starts destroying their machinery and attacking them. Patty's going to save Holtzman from getting yeeted out the window like Bill Murray did. And then just starts slapping the shit out of Abby until the ghost has to leave her body.
One of the funnier gags, I will say. Like, how hard did she slap her exactly?
It's hard enough to cause an exorcism, basically. Yeah. So good for Patty.
The power of Leslie compel you. Yeah. The power of Patty compels you.
So Rowan is going to possess Kevin instead and take off with his body.
Yes.
So
I really should have worked out while I was alive.
Aaron tries to go see the mayor to warn him, like, hey, you need to evacuate the city, you gotta turn off all the power, we gotta stop this. But she doesn't explain this like a normal person. She just starts screaming craziness. And so he has his bodyguards drag her out. I did like when she compared him to the mayor from Jaws. He's like, don't ever compare me to the mayor from Jaws. That's very funny.
Like, that's a big insult in the mayor community. Yep. You know, the only thing that would have made it funnier is if she just said, you remind me of that mayor who was responsible for Ice Town.
Rule number 9, be careful what you say and how you say it. Maybe if you sounded like a sane person, the mayor would have bought into what you were saying.
And by the way, Kristen Wiig, the Venkman character, did exactly what Peter Venkman didn't do. We completely inversed it again, because if you remember, he was at dinner going, guys, I have no idea what you're talking about. Leave me alone. And they arrest him anyway, and we're like, well, he did everything he could. Yeah. Just try and act sane, and they might let you go.
Rowan is going to go to the hotel in Chris Hemsworth's body, knock out the cops that are still there very easily, because he's Thor.
Yes.
And he's going to start the machine back up and break the barrier, and ghosts start flooding into New York City, making New York a better place.
Yes.
Got him.
This is the third scariest thing that happened in New York that day.
Ghosts everywhere, ghost chaos, bunch of bullshit.
Again, very similar to the first movie.
Mass hysteria, dogs and cats, blah, blah, blah.
Level 5 apparitions, malevolent.
So Aaron's going to try and get a taxi to take her to HQ, and it's Dan Aykroyd.
It's Ray.
And he's like, yeah, don't worry about it. These are like level 5 ghosts, no big deal. I don't feel like driving you all the way to Chinatown, so I'm just going to go bye.
No, see you later.
Okay, bye, Dan Aykroyd.
Who are you going to call? Not that taxi.
Not that taxi. Abby, Patty, and Holtzman, they're going to get in. By the way, Patty managed to get them a hearse from her uncle's funeral home and turned it into the Ecto-1.
Mm-hmm.
So they're driving through all the chaos in New York. They decide to fucking stop the car because there's a couple of food carts blocking the road, and it's Slimer. And Slimer just steals their car and drives away.
Yep. Okay.
You know, we have a rule on here. Rule number 39 is use your car as a weapon, which goes hand in hand in this case with rule number 7, don't leave your weapon behind. They left the keys in their car and they let a ghost steal it.
Firmly grasp it.
I would even say it goes a little bit hand in hand with don't leave your shelter too.
Sure.
Because like there's ghost mania everywhere and these ghosts are kind of looking for you guys.
Mm-hmm. So this is kind of about the Ghostbusters at this point. Rule number 8 is don't leave your shelter. I don't know why you stop for food carts. Just drive on the sidewalk.
Yes.
It's fine.
There are other things that are more important.
There's so many ghosts running around. Who cares about this one ghost that we know from Ghostbusters 1? Get to the damn hotel. Now you have to go on foot. It's going to take forever. It's New York. It's huge.
What?
Yeah, you are a New York correspondent, you know.
Well, I didn't know it was that big. I thought it was like 3 or 4 blocks at most.
On their way to the hotel, they get attacked by a spooky parade of ghosts. All like balloons, and one of them's the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. Remember him?
I did like this for the most part. We didn't need to be reminded of the Stay Puft, but I thought it was cool. Like, yep. These were really cool ghosts.
Yeah, the ghosts are good. And they destroy all of them except Stay Puft, who, like, pins the 3 Ghostbusters down. Aaron returns, kills the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, and we're all reunited.
You know, that camera angle from below did remind me of Nope. Like, mm-hmm. The scene from inside of Jean Jacket.
Yep.
Where they were kind of pressed up against the concrete, and you could just, could feel the claustrophobia. So I appreciated that, but only because I saw it first in a newer movie that was wickedly better.
Yes. So cops, DHS, and the National Guard, they all descend on the hotel. And immediately, Roe and Kevin just, like, freezes them all in place. They have no impact on the rest of the plot.
And it's pretty clear that they filmed a big dance sequence where Chris Hemsworth was just ordering all of the military and Homeland Security to just do dance moves and dance numbers. Instead, they're just kind of frozen in a disco stance.
Completely cut. Yep. Cut all of it. They play it in the credit sequence.
And it's weird.
Yep. But the Ghostbusters are going to arrive, and we have a big, big action sequence with all the Ghostbusters fighting all this army of ghosts. Some of it's pretty well done. I really like the part where Kate McKinnon's character has, like, the dual-wielding protoplasm guns, and they're playing the Ghostbusters theme, and she's just taking down all these ghosts. That was really cool.
That was the most positively I felt about Kate McKinnon's character, and it was just... It was just a really well-done action sequence. Yep. I appreciated it.
She didn't say anything, and she just killed some ghosts.
The worst part about the action sequence was every time they tried to interject some comedy.
Yep.
Like, why did you interrupt this? This was so good.
Just do some cool action stuff.
Yeah, you've got cool tech, cool guns, cool ghosts. Just fight. Be badasses.
Patty does lose her weapon, and it gets destroyed by a ghost. Rule 7, don't leave your weapon behind.
It was the Shredder, too, man. That thing was cool.
I mean, they did lock and load like crazy. They have a ton of weapons, so we love that. Ghostbusters make it to the hotel, and they convince Rowan to let Kevin go. I'm like, oh, that was kind of easy. And he's like, I'll choose a new form instead. And he takes on the form of their Ghostbusters logo, the cute little ghost, like, from the logo, and turns it into, like, a giant, monstrous, Godzilla-sized version who's going to destroy the city.
Yes.
So, big ghost portal is open in the middle of New York. We got a giant ghost monster running around. They realize they need to reverse the portal, and they need a massive amount of energy to do that. The equipment in the back of the Ecto-1 will do that if they blow it up. So basically, they just shoot their plasma proton packs at Slimer, who's driving around, and force him into driving into the portal. And then they blow it up, and that reverses the portal. It's actually not that hard, it seemed like.
No, and it seemed very abrupt.
Yeah, it was quick. I'll say,
because they barely interacted with Rowan's ghost at all. Truly, for being the BBEG, he's not here very long and doesn't do very much. That said, we do not know, but there may have been a pretty reasonably high body count. Because he smashes several skyscrapers.
Yep.
So, you know, this might be the Ghostbusters with the biggest body count. It's hard to say.
It's hard to say. Nothing confirmed. Yeah. Just the one, Rowan.
But yeah, they basically did their version of crossing streams.
Yep.
And
they blow up
the portal.
So all the ghosts get sucked in. Rowan is so strong that he's like holding on to the buildings. So they shoot the proton packs into his crotch.
They shoot him in the dick.
Hey, you know what? Fight dirty. That is a rule.
It is.
Rule number 20 is fight dirty.
It wasn't slapstick comedy.
Nope, they just shot him.
It was not the lowest common denominator. They went for his weakness.
Yeah, they go for the weak spot. As he's being pulled in the portal, he grabs Abby and pulls her in too. So Aaron puts like a attaches a hook to herself.
Yeah.
And dives in after her.
Why can't a pulley?
Pulley. And so she manages to get to Abby, free her. And then get pulled back out before the portal closes. And they're friends again. Yay!
Now, I cannot condone jumping into a ghostly portal after your friend has been sucked in.
It's not the best idea. Maybe don't get caught by the ghost. This is a dumb move. You know, you don't know if you're getting back out. So I can't say this is a great idea for Aaron. It worked out for him, but maybe know when to cut ties.
Yeah, there's something there. Like,
Rule 35.
If it was my kid, I'd jump in.
Yep.
If it was my wife, I'd jump in. Ryan, I jump in for you.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
But like, I don't know, most of y'all out there, no, I don't think so.
Tough of luck. Don't get grabbed by the ghost.
Yeah, like, be faster.
Yeah.
You know?
But yeah, Aaron is gonna save Abby. And we did it. It's over. The mayor is still gonna continue to denounce everything they've done and pretend like, oh yeah, it was all not real. But is going to finance all their operations just in case something ever happens again in the future. So they get the firehouse. They move in there. Patty's uncle comes up. He's like, hey, where's the hearse I loaned you? And it's Winston from Ghostbusters. And then we meet Hoffman's mentor, who's visiting the lab.
And it's Dana.
It's Sigourney Weaver. And they talk about how, like, oh, there's, like, no safety lights and labels on any of this equipment.
That's for men.
Yeah, women don't need that.
Safety's for men.
Not to mansplain, but men and women. Safety is for everyone.
This is safety, office safety.
Office safety is for
everybody's job.
Yep.
And so that is rule number three, do your damn job and don't die in the process.
Yep.
Maybe put a few safety lights on those things.
Yep. Yes, you have three, like, physics scientists involved. Patty's not. You know, how much experience does Patty have with lab equipment?
How would she know?
How would she know? Maybe you have freaking Kevin wandering around, Chris Hemsworth. Put some safety labels on. Maybe that guy can't read, but at least try.
There's definitely a rule break here.
Yep.
Again, we're not trying to mansplain. We're just trying to keep people alive.
Yes. Safety is for everyone.
That's the rule. Everybody's job.
Everyone's job.
We've been talking about this since Halloween 2.
You know, we talked about this with Cabin in the Woods with Sigourney Weaver.
She should know!
Well, she was pretty bad in that movie,
too. She was.
You know, she did Night of the Living Club for that movie. And so, at the very end of the movie, Patty is listening to a recording of something, and she hears the word Zool on there to set up for a sequel that we're never getting.
Probably for the best.
Yeah. I'm fine with that. We'll go to Afterlife instead, which is okay. And that's the end of Ghostbusters 2016. We did it.
We made it!
Hooray! So, no new rules.
No new
it's
rules.
It's a reboot. We've covered most of this.
Not a high body count either.
Just the one, actually. Yep. One confirmed.
One confirmed body, and that was the BBEG all a part of his plan. Yep.
Don't be a menace.
Possibly hundreds of deaths in skyscrapers, but we don't know.
We don't know for sure. Hope not.
And if so, they didn't break any rules.
No.
They did nothing.
You can't really account for ghost monsters
destroying
buildings.
Yes.
Let's get into the awards.
Yes.
First, we have the Randy Meeks Merit Badge, which goes to the character who did the best job at following the rules.
There are certain rules that one must abide by in order to successfully survive a horror movie.
Based off Randy from Scream, Sigourney Weaver won for the first two Ghostbusters. She's not winning this time.
Nope.
Lab safety is important.
Yes, people. That is a demerit.
So, who are you thinking, Derek?
I think it has to go to Patty. I think it has to go to Leslie Jones.
Yeah, slam dunk.
Honestly, the big thing is the mirror between her and Dana in the first movie. She's like, this is out of my league. I'm going to go find the closest thing to professionals that exist on this subject, and I'm going to get them involved. And she's very careful about how she talks about it. She shows them rather than tries to explain it. She doesn't like deal with the cops who aren't going to believe her and stuff like that. And so if that's kind of the move that put Dana over the top, the fact that Leslie Jones really doesn't make any other mistakes in the movie,
yep.
The fact that Patty doesn't really make any other mistakes in the movie, other than like the leave your weapon behind when she was in the middle of a big action sequence fight.
She split up once, but that was all of them.
Yeah, exactly. I think it has to go to her.
Yeah, she does what Dana did in the first one, except she takes one extra step to learn about all of this herself. So she'd take action. And, you know, we could say, like, hey, Ghostbusters, don't get involved with this. This is stupid. But this was going to happen with or without them. And so they took steps to defend the city. And without them, they all could have died.
Exactly.
So
it's the same reason we kind of excused the Ghostbusters in the first movie. Hey, this is, like, world cataclysmic stuff. If you don't stop it,
no one will.
And that's bad for you, too.
Yep. So she took steps, along with the other Ghostbusters, to save the world. But she did it for a better reason, not just for science. She did it for her own safety. So she learned. And she's definitely the least reckless of all of them as well.
Agreed.
Significantly.
Absolutely. And, if I might say, quite the career advancement in a short amount of time.
Yep. Now,
you can advance quickly in chaos, people. That's the lesson here.
Yep. Chaos is a ladder. So Patty is the winner of the Randy Meeks Merit Badge. Congratulations, Patty.
And Leslie.
Yeah, and Leslie Jones.
Well, you'll get your award in the mail.
Yes. Let's move on to Night of the Living Club, which goes to a character who did the worst job at following the rules.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Stop it. You're ignorant.
They're coming for you, Barbara.
Derek, who are you thinking?
Man, do you have any hard nominations here?
Because I have Garrett at the beginning for going down into the basement for some dumb reason.
And see, that one is like, at least he wasn't frozen in panic. He went into the one door that was open. He realized his mistake. That's why I have a hard time giving it to Garrett. Because again, he had been desensitized because he gave tours at this mansion. And he did realize he was in a horror movie, but he couldn't escape. He tried every rational thing before he did the next irrational thing, which is Rule 17.
I think it's got to go to Erin, because she released the gargoyle ghost just to prove a point to Bill Murray, And then she dived into the ghost portal to save Melissa McCarthy.
And that was kind of where I was leaning. The only other one I was kind of thinking of was Kate McKinnon, because she was the most reckless.
Yes.
And yeah, like, if in this movie, and in any of the Ghostbusters movies that I've seen, that's not going to get you killed, because it's not that kind of movie, bruv. But in most movies like this, you die.
But she did invent a lot of useful stuff, no, which helps her.
I totally agree. It's more of her actions, yep, and it's more of how she used it and how reckless she was along the way.
Yep.
And she nearly killed all of them during the weapons testing, yes, in the alley, because she just didn't tell them. And very mad scientist behavior. But yep, that said, within the context of this movie and these awards, I do think it does have to go to Kristen Wiig.
Technically, the two worst movies of the movie, I think, go to Aaron.
Yes, because jumping into the portal... Yes, it's to save your friend, but you have no way of knowing, yep, if you're going to survive. And then...
releasing the gargoyle.
For no reason.
No reason.
That was a very dangerous move.
Very, very. And possibly may have killed Bill Murray.
Unclear.
Unclear for sure. So Kristen Wiig, Dr. Aaron Gilbert, win Night of the Living Pleb. They are living plebs.
Yep.
And that's it. That's Ghostbusters 2016. So we put Ghostbusters Afterlife on the wheel in its spot.
Which I have heard is a better movie.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's not great. It's okay.
But better than this movie.
Yes. So here's what is on the wheel today. We have Carrie, It 2017, A Quiet Place 2, Tremors 6, A Cold Day in Hell, Child's Play 2019, Psycho 2, Scream Season 2, Episode 3, Vacancy, and Ghostbusters Afterlife. Derek, go ahead and spin the wheel. That is Tremors 6, A Cold Day in Hell, the sixth Tremors movie. I don't know if we'll be able to do that one right away. That one might have to wait a couple of weeks, but I think I'll be able to do that one for sure in February.
So you got to do that one with your dad, right?
Yep. So I think my dad is coming to visit me in February at some point. For a note, we are recording this on January 22nd, so Tremors 6 was spun, but I think we might have to push that one back a couple of weeks, but I will check for sure on that one. But just Tremors 6 will be coming up, probably my least favorite Tremors movie, but it's still okay. Derek, thanks for doing this.
Happy to be here.
Were you, though?
You know, I've seen half of the movies. Now I've seen three quarters, yep, of the Ghostbusters movies. I want to finish it. I want to be able to give a decisive ranking. I have a feeling I already know how it's going to go. But that said, I go into every movie open. I like this movie more than I'd heard I would, yep, but only marginally.
Marginally. Yeah, it's not like the worst movie ever made, like a lot of people made it out to me. It's just kind of bad.
It's not Morbius levels.
No.
But Morbius also wasn't as bad of a movie as everyone made it, true, out to be either.
Morbius is pretty awful, but not the worst movie ever.
Morbius is memeable. This movie isn't really memeable.
We can definitely cover Morbius on the podcast, by the way. That counts. That absolutely counts as partially a horror movie.
I don't know if I'm ready for that kind of whiplash.
Oh, God. All right, Derek, you want to plug anything?
As always, you can follow me on Letterboxd, E-R-E-K-K. That's Eric on Letterboxd, and that's really all I got.
You can follow us on Twitter at HowToHorror, and I will be adding Ghostbusters 2016 to all of the lists, rankings we have on Letterboxd. And all that fun stuff. So go ahead and check that out.
You can see how Ryan ranks it in terms of movies that I've had to watch, yep, with him.
Every movie Derek's ever covered on there is ranked. So we'll see where Ghostbusters... It's certainly not the worst one. It's not even the worst Ghostbusters.
Nope.
And it's certainly better than Exorcist 2.
And most of the Children of the Corn.
Most of the Children of the Corn movies. But not all.
Not all.
All right, Derek, anything else?
That's it.
All right, thanks for doing this again.
Absolutely.
This was fun.
It was fun.
All right, this has been the How to Survive a Horror Movie podcast. Stay safe out there. Grrrr, grrrr.